Log Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to KS Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Valerie Harris. I'm glad to be here on the line with many of you who are calling in even now. I was thinking about something the Lord had placed on my heart even a few weeks ago, and just out of obedience to His Spirit, I'm going to begin to call this segment that we have love, forgiveness, and second chances, because that's what He's done for us. He's loved us. He forgave us. And I know for me for sure that He's given me another chance, chance after chance, after chances after chance. Let's open up in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You for tonight. Father, we thank You for those who are come together, Lord God. We're hungry for Your word. We come to lift up the name of Jesus. We come to honor You and give You praise. Holy Spirit, come and take over this line, Father. Search our hearts, Lord, on tonight. If there's anything within us, Lord God, that is not pleasing to You, we ask that You will wash us, cleanse us, deliver us, heal us, Lord, that we might come before Your throne with clean hands and a pure heart. Father, I thank You in advance for Your word, because Your word is life. Your word is truth. You've blessed me with this word, Lord God, as You've allowed me to walk through areas of my life, knowing that You have always been there for me, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that there may be something said, Lord God, that would penetrate our hearts and our spirits, that would ignite us, Lord God, that would encourage us, Lord God, that would bring us to a higher place in You. And, Lord God, we just come as Your children. We come, Lord God, honoring no other one but You. You're the only true God. And we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord God, I bless You in the name of Your Son, Jesus. And by Your Spirit, Lord God, move on tonight in a great and mighty way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I was thinking on tonight, actually this kind of started earlier in the day, when I was on the prayer line with my prayer family, and as Pastor Greg was ministering and speaking, the word, he was ministering the word, and the word was ministering to me in such a powerful way. Because right before I even got on the prayer line, I started thinking and just quiet and thinking in my spirit about things that God had called me to do, that I just didn't feel worthy. Didn't feel like, God, I'm moving too slow. I'm not getting the things done. Thinking the way I wanted to get it done. You know, when God tells me to do something, I'm used to just getting out there and getting right at it, and things are going smoothly, and I'm not running into too many obstacles because I know how to press my way in. But I have to admit that I started looking to myself and doubting my own abilities. Now, I know a couple of weeks ago I was saying that we shouldn't look to our own insufficiencies, but we should look to the all-sufficient one. And then I thought about James 1 and 8. It says, a double minded man is unstable in all his ways. And I definitely don't want to be that person, to be unstable in all of my ways. I know that I'm not perfect, but I try to do my best in everything that I do. I want to please God. I want to know His heart and follow after Him. And so He took me to the time when Jesus was about to be arrested. He had just had the Lord's Supper. He spent time with his disciples, and Judas went about his way to go and bring the soldiers to him as he was being betrayed. And so Jesus was telling them, this is in Matthew 26, and beginning with the 31st verse, he said, and Jesus said unto him, talking to his disciples, all ye shall be offended of me because of this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen, I will go before you in Galilee. And Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Now earlier, when they were walking together and they came up against the crowd, Jesus asked Peter this question. He said, Peter, who do men say that I am? And Peter said, well, some say you Elijah. Some say you John the Baptist. But Jesus responded and said, but Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, he said, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but the Spirit of God revealed that. And it's upon this rock that I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What he was saying is upon the Spirit that my church will be built. See, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. But we wrestle not, the scripture said, against flesh and blood. Our spiritual warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers in high places. But here on the night that Jesus was being betrayed, he told them they went to this place called Gethsemane. And he told his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Now, he spent a lot of time with the three. He taught the 12, but there were three that was in his inner circle, his closest friend, the one he shared the most with. He brought them up to the Mountain of Transfiguration and showed them things that the other ones didn't get to see. They walked with him, they ate with him, they slept with him. Multitudes followed up to Jesus. They saw him heal the sick. They saw him raise the dead. They saw him walk on water. And they knew that he was the Son of God. But in this hour, in this setting, his heart was heavy. He was sorrowful. He knew why he was there. He knew that he was sent to the world. He knew that the scripture said that he had to die. He knew his mission. He knew the call that was on his life. Isaiah 53:3 said, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. This is the Son of the living God, the only begotten Son that God sent into the world because he loved us so much. He knew he was the sacrificial lamb that was sent. But his heart was heavy. And he said unto his disciples, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he said his soul was sorrowful. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. And so in this hour, in his desperation, his humanity is wrestling with his spiritual nature, with his spirit. He's in the battle, fighting himself with his emotions, with his thoughts. No man in a right mind would willingly want to be beaten and flogged, humiliated, spat upon. Who would want to volunteer to do something of that nature? But Jesus also told him, he said, I don't even say anything that my Father don't say. And his soul was vexed. And he went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he came back to his friends, his disciples, the ones who he ate with and slept with and talked with, the ones who saw him in his glory, the one who he called upon to stand with him and pray. And he found them asleep. So he said unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you do not enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit man is always willing, but we have battles within our own soul, within our own flesh. And I believe that right here, Jesus was showing us the way to overcome the flesh. He went away again the second time and he prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. So his flesh is looking for a way out, but his spirit is submitting himself to the Father. And he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Now Peter just told him, if I have to die with you, I would never be offended. If you die, I'm ready to go in the battle all the way. He gave Jesus his word that he would be there. But when Jesus went to him and asked him, pleaded with them, shared his heart with them, told him that his heart was heavy, and he was looking for somebody to just stand in the gap with him, after all that he had done for them, and for others. And he found himself alone. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray. He didn't even say he was the Son of God that was being betrayed. He said he was the Son of Man that was being betrayed. But then further in the scriptures, when the soldiers came and they were ready to fight, and Peter pulled out his sword and he told him to put his sword away. He said, do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Oh, he knew who he was then, because he prayed to his Father. And he didn't quit praying until he got the breakthrough. He did not quit praying until his spirit man rose up into who he already knew himself to be. But sometimes we don't just fight against other people, and we don't just fight against principalities. We fight with our own selves. When we think that we can't, and we're looking at the situation, when we're looking at the circumstance and the difficulties and the struggles, when we're looking at the heartache and we're looking at the pain, and we wonder and we feel like we're all alone, I thank God that we have people that we can go to and pray, and they pray because they're committed to that. But I have no doubt that his disciples were committed to him. But in his lowest point, when he was facing the persecution and the beating and the flogging, when he was facing betrayal and he was all alone, they were asleep. There may be times in our lives when we feel like we're abandoned and we're alone. But there's one place that we can go. Whether it's one time we go to pray, if we pray the same prayer two or three or four or five times, we have to stay there until our spirit comes and take over. The spirit is always willing, but we live in a fleshly body. Even when Jesus was feeding the multitudes and he was out and about with his disciples, he always went away and he spent time with his Father. And he generally go alone. He didn't take anybody with him when he went to go and get instructions, or he went to go be in the presence of God. He went alone. And that was his choice. But here he decided to take the three with him at his point of need. And he still found himself alone. But he wasn't alone. He went to his Father. And he was able to bear with his Father what his humanity was saying. Father, if you could take this cup, if you can pass it, let it pass from me. And if God had changed his mind, Jesus probably would have went along with it. Say, whew, I missed that bullet. But yet and still, he knew the Father's will. He asked him in his humanity, but he responded in his spirit. The scripture says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. All the time when we're wrestling between flesh and spirit doesn't mean that we're double-minded, especially when we submit our will to God. Those are two different things. I remember on this occasion, this was after Hurricane Katrina had hit Louisiana, and then Hurricane Rita came right behind him and was about to hit Houston. Do y'all remember that? It was like a ghost town here. The streets, the highways were back to back, people trying to get out of Houston. But the Spirit of God told me not to go nowhere. And I was praying. On a Wednesday night, I went to church, and the church was almost empty because everybody was gone. The pastor never missed church. And it was just a few of us, and we were praying. My husband said he was going to stay at work. That was on the north side of town. Asked me if I wanted to go. My daughter was going to go to some friend of hers who didn't live on it because we were in the flood zone. My son was going to fly to Canada to be with his girlfriend. And I said, but I can't go nowhere. I got to stay. And my youngest daughter, she just had her first baby. She wasn't staying. So she went off with her in-laws and was stuck in all that traffic. But I was determined that I was going to stay because I heard God tell me to stay. But I'm looking at this thing, and nobody is staying. And I'm at church. I'm in the sanctuary praying, and I'm on my way home, and I ask God the question, God, did I hear you right? Do you really want me to stay? And when I got home, a neighbor, we had not even asked him, was boarding up our house with boards to protect our windows. And I took it as a sign that God wanted me to stay. But I know I was praying heavily for 3 days. I had marched around my house. I had anointed my yard with oil. I anointed the corners of the block with oil. I walked around the church. I anointed the church with oil, and I spoke the word of God. I pled the blood of Jesus over everything that I could think of, over my home, over my neighbor's home, over the church, over the neighborhood, and I heard God tell me how to pray. He gave me specific instructions how to speak to that storm, and I called every intercessor that I knew and told them exactly what God said. This is how we pray. And that storm turned. Now the winds came, but the rain never came. And then my husband and my children saw that I wasn't going anywhere. Even the pastor of the church had to leave because they ordered him out of his house. And so he flew to Florida. And this is the most amazing thing to me. He gave me the keys to the church because he knew I wasn't going anywhere. And he said, I still want y'all to have service on Saturday night, and I want you to have service on Sunday. And he called me, I don't know how many times he called me while he was going to check on things. But I wasn't one of the leaders in the church. But he gave me the keys. And I know that was God. And so I'm like, okay, I got a plan B. If something happened, I just run up to the church because it was high, you know. It had more levels to it than me. I knew we were going to be safe. But the thing is that I obeyed God, and it was not easy. But I did question him. Just like Jesus said, God, if this cup can pass me, but if not, if I have to drink of this cup, let thy will be done. And I'm not going to say that I wasn't afraid, because I'm looking at what had happened in Katrina, and I'm looking at the news, and I'm looking at everybody just getting out of town, and fear was there. And my family saw that I wouldn't move, so they didn't move. They stayed with me. And about in the middle of the night, we heard this big noise. And this tree, our next door neighbor's tree, fell on top of our roof. And we go out and we look to see what was happening. And I asked God, I said, God, why did that tree hit our roof? You know, because I had prayed up. I'm trusting in the words that I said to him. He turned the storm, and my husband said, he said, I told Roy, which was one of our neighbors, he said, I told Roy that tree was going to fall because it kind of leaned over the fence. And the Lord said, because your husband spoke it. See, words have power. Even when we don't believe the words we sing, life and death is in the power of our tongue. And so we have to be so careful that even if we think a thing, we can't say the thing. We have to wrestle with the flesh, with our humanity, and with the spirit man that's on the inside of us until the spirit wins. Greater is he that is within us than he that is within the world. We have to trust him more than we trust ourselves. Definitely more than we trust ourselves. More than what the news say, more than what the weather says, we have to trust in God. Now, sometimes I question myself because I've been in situations where I watched my sister die and I was believing for her healing. I watched my best friend die. I was believing for her healing. I watched my nephew die. Not literally I watched him die, but I went all the way to him, to his execution. My prayer family was there checking on me all the way. But in the last moment, with my sister, I prayed. I said, God, she's not fighting. And I can't stand to see her suffer anymore. Lord, take her home. my best friend, she had actually basically died and came back, and she was had a bag on her. And the last time I saw her, I didn't even recognize her. She was skin and bone. And she thought she would disappoint God if she didn't hold on. And my words to her is, that's not the God we serve. If you want to go home, you go. God will not be disappointed in you. But I wonder, what if I had held on? What if I hadn't given in? What if I had stood in the gap? Now, if he had taken him after I had done all I could do to stand, I wouldn't have that question in the back of my mind. When I was with my nephew and I was standing and believing and hoping and praying, and when they took him to Huntsville to execute him, my words was him, it's going to be okay. I prayed for you to be free. Maybe I should have been a little bit more specific, because you will be free, and it's okay. They can have your body, but they can't touch your spirit. The vision that he gave you won't die. Now, he had peace. But I was troubled, because I felt like at the moment between life and death that I didn't stand. Yet everything looked like it was nothing else that we could do. That I didn't press in. Our days here are getting dark. But God put a light on the inside of us. He even said that when the disciples asked him, what is the sign of your coming? He said there'll be wars and rumors of wars. They're going to want to put you out of church. They will want to kill you for my sake, for my name. But we can't give up, and we can't give in. We have to keep on pressing and keep on praying and keep on declaring the word of God and keep close to his presence. Because at the end of the day, that's all we have is God. The kingdom of God. We pray it in the Lord's Prayer. Let your kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. No matter what state we find ourselves in, let's press in. Let's become better than what we are. A testimony when we press in and God doesn't disappoint. When we find ourselves holding on and it looks like he may not show up, but he does. Let's remember and meditate and ponder on those times. But also remember that Jesus was acquainted with all grief and all sorrow. Corinthians 1:26-28. I want to read this and I'll close with this. He says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised have God chosen. Yeah, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." And pretty much anybody I know, I'm looking at myself, I see myself in that. Because I've been put down, I've been cast down, I've been talked about. People think I'm crazy. I've had some people say some horrible things to me and do some horrible things to me. I didn't even believe in myself. But he chose me. And he chose you. We've all made mistakes. We've all been there. I love when my friend, he always tells his testimony. He's not ashamed of his testimony. And every time he say it, I feel his heart. Because he never forget where God brought him from. And still amazed where God has brought him to. We have to be transparent to the world. And I'm grateful that he allows us and tells us not to be puffed up with pride and not to think of ourselves more than we ought, but to consider others more than we do ourselves. Because that's who he called. That's who he's chosen. A broken spirit and a contrite heart he would not despise. And he takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Lord, let me know your foolishness. Because man wisdom is nothing compared to you. So I want to open up the lines. And if you have any testimonies, any stories, any comments, this is your time that your voice can be heard. Amen.
Hello, this is Mother Bobby, and I would love to say that I listened to your message, your testimony, and I agree. We all has been. Once was, but God cleaned us up, chose us to walk down here on this earth to be a blessing to his people. That's our assignment from our Father, which is in heaven, that sent his only begotten Son, and whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Although we go through, talked about, cast down, bied on, backbite you, your friends turn their back on you. But we must hold on and act like Jesus did. Do the work that he done. We are the ones down here that can carry the Holy Spirit that he left for us to minister and bless his people. And I thank God for you ministering tonight. I enjoyed it. Amen. God bless you.
God bless you too, Mother Bobby. Anyone else? Any other comments? Y'all quiet on me tonight. I was just thinking, too, about when he hung on that tree.
Yes. Yes.
He asked the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Father, forgive them.
Mm-hmm.
For they yes. know not what they do.
They do.
Hello?
Hello?
Am I communicating? I don't know where I'm being heard. Hello?
Yes, we're here. We're here. Can you hear us? We can hear you.
Yes. Okay. I was saying sometimes, even as children of God, like the minister of the word said, we feel forsaken. We feel rejected by those with so much love. But because the word of God says, iron sharpened iron, and so a friend sharpened the countenance of the friend, we lift one another up and stand on the word of God, which says, Satan comes to destroy, to kill, and to steal. But he has come that we may have life and have it abundantly. When we stand on his word, we declare that which the word of God says. That when you call upon me in the day of trouble, that includes the day of rejection. It includes the day of feeling sorry for yourself. That he will deliver us and we shall glorify his name. As students of God, there are moments of trial. We should stand firm and God will glorify himself. Amen.
Amen, amen.
God bless
amen.
You.
Thank you. God bless you too, woman of God.
Amen.
Amen. Anyone else?
And those that have turned their back and think they are not worthy, come back. He's waiting on you. No matter what you've done, repent, turn from your wicked ways, come back to the Father through your first love. He is the only way. There is no other way. There is no other God. It's our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for you, as he did for each and every one of us. Amen.
Amen. And he tells us, he said, if you say you haven't committed any sin, you say you're a liar. He said, but if you confess your sin, that he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's a loving Father. That's a holy God who knows our shortcomings, who knows when we're going to pass the test, when we're going to fail the test, but all he says is come. His arms are still open. When we doubt, when we're afraid, when we're rejected, when we're even putting down our own selves, or falling into pity or despair, he just tells us to come back. And he lifts us up and builds us up. We can go to that place and cry out to God. Stay there till you get your breakthrough. Don't give up. And don't give in. Anybody else?
John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess your sins. Repent. Come back with a deep compassion. God will wash you, cleanse you. Never remember your sin anymore. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And when he forget it, that's all that matters. So when somebody try to come and remind you of your sin, God don't remember it. You just choose this day whom you're going to serve. He has us. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Love covers a multitude of sins. God is love. The most important thing to God is his creation. It's his sons and his daughters. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, he left that open for the whole world. Believe in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life.
Mother can't do it. Father can't do it. Sister can't do it. Brother can't do it. Husband can't do it. Nobody can do it. This is personal. You've got to go to the judge for your own self. So it's a choice. It is up to you. Can't go on mom and dad's prayer. Amen. It's personal.
Amen. Is there anyone else? Well, Mother Bobby, would you do us the honor of closing us out in prayer? Hello, can you hear me?
Oh. You talking to me?
Yes, ma'am. I mean, no one else was responding. I was just asking you if you can close us out in prayer on tonight.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come right now in your mighty precious name. We thank you for the ones that made it to the radio station. We thank you for the ones that did not make it for one reason or another. But we thank you for Sister Valerie, for the message that was brought forth. Open deaf ears. Unstop deaf ears. Open blind eyes that the peoples will hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. We are the church. The building is a building that we fellowship together, but we are the church. Let us come together. Let us worship together and lift up the name of Jesus. For God is waiting on you. He's waiting patiently on you. He's not a God of fortunes. He waits patiently on his children to come. But don't let it be too late, because it is personal. It's a personal relationship that you and I must have alone. But always remember, we all have been something in our life we would not want to put out on the screen. In each and every one of our lives, there is something that would not be put out on the screen that we would not be proud of. But he saw fit to choose each and every one of us. He chose us to do a work for him to bless his people. This is how much that Jesus loves us. God gave his only begotten son for each and every one of us, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And I say tonight to you that thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us to release all controls to you, so that God's perfect will for your life today, tonight, is done in Jesus' mighty, precious, and holy name. Now unto him who is able to keep us from failing and from falling. May God love, rule, rest, and abide in each and every one of our hearts and in our thoughts. In Jesus' mighty, precious, and holy name, shall we meet again? Amen, and amen, and amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Well, amen. Amen. So be it. I pray that all will have a wonderful, beautiful week, and I pray that there's something that was said, something that was prayed. You know, it's good to just feast on the word and allow it to saturate us and cleanse us and purify us and draw us closer to the one who loves us most.
Mm-hmm.
And every day, let's just draw closer and stay close to God. That's my prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Be blessed. Love y'all.
Love you too.
God bless y'all. Thank you, Sister Valerie. Beautiful.
Thank you,
you're welcome.
Valerie.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
God bless you.
Amen.
God bless Amen. You all too. Thank you. Bye bye.
Have a blessed night.
Great word, Sister Valerie. Good night for our family. Good word.
Good night.
Good night.
Amen.
The blessed word.
Amen.